Good morning. The Bible reading for the morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it reads, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. God continues to bless us. Yeah, it's wonderful to stand here and see so many people and see so many children. Such an encouragement. Look at all the children. Wow. What a blessing. What a privilege. What a responsibility we have as a congregation as well. You know, we really admire, you know, for our teenagers, these are difficult times. It's a difficult stage in their life. And so I want to encourage you. I want to thank you for being here. I want to encourage you to stay strong. Look out for all the traps out there. There's plenty of them. But let me encourage you. You know, you just keep focused on Christ and keep focused on His Word, because that is absolutely imperative. Last week we was talking a kind of a theme, and I was kind of talking about how we need to step up and responsibilities, and how we need to be excited about our life as Christians and the things that we can do as well as individuals. I want to start by just telling you a thing that happened to me some years ago. We was out in Malawi in Africa. I got invited out. My parents were involved in mission work out there many years ago. My mother always said before she passed away, she said, "Paul, sometime go to Malawi." And I kind of always put it off, you know, and I kind of held back on that. I was kind of focused on other things, but an opportunity came and I went. I went out there. And one particular day we were out preaching in the villages. You go and you stand under a tree. That's the building, you know. So you stand under a tree and you look and people are flooding in. They're coming in on carts and they've got oxen pulling the carts, and many of them are walking, some of them are on bicycles, but they travel for miles to come and hear you teach the gospel. When you finish your lesson, they tell you to preach another one. And so, you know, they've come a long way and they haven't come all this journey just for a quick sermon. You know, they want more all the time. They want more. And this one particular day we'd been out, it was very hot, and we'd been out preaching, and I preached in two villages, my brother preached in another two villages, and we met up at an halfway point, and we came to this village in Malawi. There wasn't a church there, but it was just a village. We stopped there to get some water, some refreshment. And we stood in this village, and there in the village was this great big, it looked like it's not a mountain, but in my eyes it was a mountain. It was one big steep, it was like a hill, but it was very, very high, very high. And I remember looking up, and as I looked up, a load of young children came up to me and they said, "You want to climb?" And I looked at it and I thought, well, it doesn't look too bad. Yeah, I think I'll be okay with that. And so we got our group together and we said, "Let's climb, let's go to the top." We got some elderly preachers with us, they were there, and we said, "Yeah, we'll be okay, we'll all go." And we started climbing on this hot day up this what seemed to be pretty straightforward. It turned out to be extremely hard. I remember on more than 10 occasions sitting down and thinking, I can't go on. My lungs were burning, my legs were aching. And these young kids were saying, come on, come on, you know, keep going, keep going. And you'll make it to the top. We had some of our group turn around and go back to the van. They'd given up, they'd gone. They turned around and they went back. But we just kept going and we kept climbing and we kept climbing. Then I was sitting down in this one place and this young boy comes up. He goes, no, snakes. So I moved very quickly from there. But eventually, made it to the top. And I remember standing at the top and it was like, I've never seen anything like it. You turn around and all you can see is the plains of Africa. And at a distance, I could see the giraffes, and I could see elephants in one side. It was just amazing to look at it. And I thought, you know, isn't life just like that? You know, how ironic that Brother Gary this morning, again, you know, the Holy Spirit's busy at work, I think, there's no question about it. And we were talking about, you know, part of this aspect, you know, of what it takes, you know. We have to keep going. We have to keep going. And I want to encourage you, brethren, this morning. I want to encourage you by starting to say this. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, there are going to be some tough things going on in your life. It's going to be a struggle at times. You may be burdened with finances. You may be burdened with health. You may be burdened with things going on in your life that are affecting you, but do not give up. You may be having problems in your home with your families. Maybe your children are at an age where it's becoming a worry and it's becoming a struggle. But maybe you're feeling weak yourself spiritually and you think, God, you know, we talked about this last week, you know, why me? Why is this all happening to me? And I always think of that hill that I was climbing that day when I spoke to these young boys. I've got a photograph here, but you can't see, but hopefully I'll show you sometime. But these young boys stood at the top and I said, how often do you climb this? They said, we climb it every day. Every day. We climb it every day. This is our home. This is part of our day-to-day life. And I think of our life as Christians, and I don't want you to give up. And I want to encourage you that when it gets tough, to keep going. And I want to encourage you that when it seems impossible, it's not impossible. Because there were times when I was climbing there and I sat down and I said, I can't do it. And this voice says, yes, you can do it. You can do it. Everybody does it. You can do it. You have to keep going. And you have to keep fighting on. There are times when we must keep going, when we just feel like we can't go any further. Those times will come. They're probably here now. Or maybe you've been through those times, or maybe those times are coming to you. That God, if He wills you another day, maybe tomorrow's the day you wake up and say, enough, I can't go any further. Have you ever said, I just don't know how much more of this I can take? Or I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. This Christian life is difficult. It's tearing my family apart. I'm going through struggles. I'm finding it hard. Maybe you're struggling with your work. Maybe you're struggling with your marriage. Maybe you're struggling with the church as a whole. Do not give up. Do not give up. It may be said during times of troubles or sickness that you just feel, like we said last week, I deserve better. Do you remember? We were saying how Christians often feel they deserve more. And we use the Apostle Paul as the example of all the things that he went through in his life, but he never gave up. I think sometimes we are misled into believing that the people of the Bible were superhuman in some way. We read the scriptures and we look at the examples of these servants of God and the accounts that are written, and we think, well, they were different to us. They were no different to us. They were the same. Even Jesus, the Son of God, came down in the form of man, in the form of flesh. We said last week the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. We said he didn't even have a pillow. Well, I have a pillow, but he didn't. And so we must understand, they were human. They experienced much of the same things that we experience today. In other words, if they climbed that hill with me on that day, they would have probably sat down alongside me and said, yeah, I feel like that as well. And so let me encourage you firstly. You know, I think of the Israelites. Look at the Israelites, freed from captivity, on that journey. They're on that journey. What happens? That they want to give up. They even say at times, you know, our life was better as servants. Do you know what it was? They didn't want to go back to becoming servants, but they didn't want that, the work that involved them going forward. They didn't want to give up on, you know, what was their complaint? The complaint was about what they had to do. They had to eat the things that God had given them. They had to walk on a journey that God had placed them on. They had to face all the things that they had to face in their life. The complaint was that when we were servants, at least we didn't have all this hassle. You see, in your Christian life, you will find times where you may feel like this is just too much hard work, going to Bible classes and sitting opening my Bible and praying constantly and examining my life all the time and not having the freedom to just go and do whatever I like. In Hosea 11 and verse 7, it says, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. His people were bent to backsliding from him. In other words, we don't want to go on. We don't want to do the things that are right. We don't want all this hassle. We don't see that this life, brethren, is going to take effort and it's going to be hard. And we've said before on more than one occasion, if your life is easy, then question it because you're not on the right path. Because the Christian walk is a tough one. If I was climbing up that hill and it was an easy walk, they'd say, you know, you're going down, not up. You're taking the easy route. It's hard work. And you've got to work at it and you've got to persevere with it. And you cannot backslide from me. You have to stay strong. You know, even Jesus' followers, you know, when he fed the 5,000, and you remember he talked in the passage about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and he was trying to teach them important lessons. And he says that some of his followers deserted him. They turned their back on him because they found the teaching hard. Hard teaching. They don't want to hear the message. They want to hear the easy stuff. They want to have an easy walk, an easy life. No one wants to sacrifice. No one wants to give up. And so his people were backsliding. The only ones left were his followers. And Jesus says, listen, if you want to be like them, you go as well. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I'm not going to compromise my teaching for anybody. I'm not going to make anything any easier for anybody. This journey is the journey that it is. And you've got to be prepared to walk it. And I'm not going to compromise that. And so he turns to his followers. You imagine, I've said this before, Jesus was the crowd diminisher. We talk about filling rooms. You know, we want to hold a campaign, we want to fill the room, we want to get it. Listen, Jesus got his crowd, and then he diminished it. You know, he never, and everyone would say, well, that's not very successful, is it? Yeah, you better believe it is. Because he diminished his crowd down to those who were willing to accept the things that he was teaching. And no matter how tough that journey was, he said to those that were left, the crowds had gone, the multitudes had gone. And remember, they've had their food. He's fed them. You notice that? You know, sometimes we can fill a room by feeding people. Yeah? come around next Sunday, we'll have a fellowship dinner, and you can bring everybody, and we'll have a meal. We'll eat the meal first. I'll tell you what, we'll eat it first. The meal's finished, the crowd disappears. You see, no compromise with Jesus, no compromise. The point is this, he fed them, they had their fill, he teached the message, they didn't like it, they went. And what did he do? He let them go. He didn't go running after them saying, come back, I'll change my mind, I'll change my lesson, I'll give you more food. He said, you go. And then to the 12 that were left, he said, listen, if you want to be like them, go with them. I have no problem with that, you go. And so he is looking for commitment, and he is looking for people willing to get on that hill and start climbing. And when it's tough, we're going to have to spur each other on. And we're going to have to encourage each other and help each other. In Isaiah 59, verse 12, for our offences are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offences are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God. Is there anybody in this room ready to turn their back on God? Are you willing to do that today, to walk out these doors and say, I'm done? And leave God behind you and go? And go back to your easy life? Go back to the things that suit you in your life? Turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies, our hearts have conceived. Jonah was a great man of God, but he backslided from the will of God and went to his own direction. And look what happened to him. A great storm came. He was thrown into the ocean. He was eaten by a fish. God sent a storm to put him back on the right path. If you're going through a storm, maybe God is teaching you something. Maybe there's a lesson in there. There's something that we're learning. Because he saves. Keep going. When I was climbing that hill, them kids never came up to me and said, here, our old man, we'll help push you up. We'll grab hold of you. They said, you've got to walk. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to get up there, but we'll come with you. We know the way. We know where not to sit. We know how to get to the top, but just we'll keep telling you and you keep listening. These young boys, these young African boys, and I have a photograph of me standing at the top with my arms around them all, and they were telling me, well done. You know, I'm the old guy. Well done. You made it to the top. Very good. You see, if you are God's child and you backslide, God will send a storm to bring you back. And I pray that he will have that result and bring you back. We must keep going. Don't give up. Look at the Apostle Paul. Learn how to keep going. When you want to stop, I want to stop, or I want to go back, or I'll just stay here. You know, we even convince ourselves sometimes just to stay put. I'm going up the mountain. I'm not going any further. I won't go back, I'll just stay here. I'll just perch down. How are we going to get to the top? We're never going to get there. But we just sit down and we convince ourselves this is okay. And so it's not an effort anymore. There's no effort there. I'm not going back. I won't do that, but I'm not going forward. I'm just going to stay here. Is your life like that? The Apostle Paul, all the things going on in his life. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I love this passage. What a great account. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And what I want to encourage you to do, maybe later today, is read over this again in your own time. I'm going to quickly just read through a few verses now. And I just want to raise a few points. But it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18, in verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. In verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in even vessels, that the excellencies of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen to this, brethren. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What an amazing passage. Read over that later today. I want you to notice something. The Apostle Paul says, this is what I want us to look at. He says, we are hard pressed on every side. Every sign, and yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, and struck down, but not destroyed. Do you know what the Apostle Paul is saying here? The Apostle Paul is saying that he was crowded with problems. He was troubled on every side, everywhere. Listen, I have the odd problems, you have the odd problems. And, you know, sometimes you get a problem and it's there in front of you, or it's just something that's sort of niggling away at the side. The Apostle Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side. In other words, you imagine being in a football stadium and you're standing in the middle of the stadium and there's people all around you. You imagine if all those people became your problem. All those people became your persecutors. All those people became the ones that would give you a hard time and make your life as difficult as possible. He was troubled on every side, yet not crushed. He would not allow the things going on around him to crush him, yet not distressed. The word trouble means to cramp. You know, Paul experienced troubles and trials to the point where it was closing in on him, to the point where he could write about it. These problems are all around me. But he says, we are not crushed. In other words, he's climbing that hill. And every single obstacle that could surround him and gather around him, and every single direction of his life, but he was not going to be crushed by these things. The word perplexed, and if you've got that in your version, the translation means to have no way out. In other words, these problems will be there. There's no way out of it, but he keeps going. In other words, when I was climbing that hill and my legs were aching, there was no way out of that. There was nothing I could do to change that. They were going to ache. Now I either walk on and keep going with the ache and the pains and the muscles and just keep going, or I allow it to crush me. And I say, I'm done. And I turn around and I walk back down the hill to where I began. Never get to see what was there waiting for me. Literally, Paul is saying there are times when he felt at a loss, but not at a total loss. The Apostle Paul never gave up. He was filled with probably doubts at times and was going to go through many experiences that we could never imagine. But he never allowed those things to crush him in any way, shape or form. He says he was persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. You know, he may have been full of questions, but he refused to be in despair and reach that point where he was no longer willing to accept what was before him. He says he was followed but not forsaken. You know, the word persecuted means to be pursued or followed, which is what was going on. The problems were following him. The burdens were always there. There was no escaping it. He would get up every day knowing, today I'm going to face more persecution. I'm going to go through some more trials. I'm going to go through some more struggles. But he said that these things surround me, they crowd me, but I won't allow them to crush me. Everywhere that the Apostle Paul went, it seemed that trouble followed him. If anybody had a right to say, I've given up, it would have been him. But he never did. He was threatened, imprisoned, and faced death on more than one occasion. And yet he said, I am not forsaken. He was ditched in many occasions. He was dropped in many occasions, but never destroyed. That's what it says. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And so that is an encouragement. You know, how did the Apostle Paul maintain this kind of attitude? How did he do it? How can we keep going when we can't go on? Look at the answer he gives. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith. You see, the Apostle Paul has the same faith we have. Same God. He has that faith according to what is written. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. The faith will keep us going. And that's what we need. And I needed a bit of reassuring climbing that hill. You know, I was putting my faith in a load of young boys. They were like 13, 14, up to 17. I think the eldest was 17 years old. And I had to put my faith in them, that they knew what they were talking about when they said, don't stand there. Them rocks you're sitting on, snakes will be under there. I never moved so quickly. You know, these are hidden things that I didn't know about that they advised me on and helped me and spurred me on and said, you can do it, I can't do it, you can do it. And that is our Christian life, brethren. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. You know, we know that after death, Jesus is going to raise us up. There's more to life than where we are right now. And he will raise us up. And but that same resurrection power is able to lift us up today. Because don't just look at the eternal promise that we have. Be assured that he can lift you today. He can lift us above sin. The sin weighs us down, but he can lift us above it. He can lift us above our sorrows, because our sorrows weigh us down, and he'll lift us above them. He can lift us above the shadows. All those things that are there, and they're constantly lurking around. And he will help us reach the top. He will help us reach that peak. And so my encouragement, brethren, today is keep going. Don't give up. Whatever you are going through, whatever trial that you're facing today, don't allow that to hinder your journey to heaven. We're going to heaven. We're on our journey for an eternity with our God. And we need to stay strong. We need to keep going. We cannot be the backslider. We have to stay firm and stay rooted and grounded to our eternal salvation that God has given us. We're going to have an invitation song. If we can offer a prayer for you this morning, let me encourage you to have the courage to stand up. If we can pray for you, we're going to do that. If you want to give your life to Christ, let me encourage you to let it be known so that we can meet with you and talk with you and help that progression to get you to the place where you need to be in the body of Christ. Let's sing the invitation song. Brother and man.
Hold in my hand, lead me.